The question of Brother Yahya is that today we talked about Al-Imam Al-Ismaili, rahimahullah ta'ala, criticizing Abu Abdullah for putting this hadith as the second hadith in the chapter which he entitled The Beginning of Revelation, Badr Wahi. He said that last time that we came together, or the very first lesson that we had, that the first hadith that Al-Bukhari put in his book was verily the deeds are by intention. Verily you will get that based upon your intention. So we said at that time that the people who criticized Al-Bukhari criticized him for that hadith because they said, what is the connection between the intentions of a man and making hijrah? What's the connection of that hadith with the name of the chapter, which is the beginning of Revelation? And we said that what Al-Bukhari had did was he put that hadith there because he had some of the major scholars of Mecca and some of the major scholars of Quraysh. And that in the hadith was his Shaykh Abdullah ibn Zubayr al-Humaydi, who was the best scholar that Al-Bukhari took hadith from in Mecca. And in the hadith was Umar ibn al-Khattab, also a scholar from Mecca. And in the hadith was Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Taymi and Ibn Sufyan ibn Uyayna, who was from Mecca. So we said that the reason why he made this the first hadith was because this hadith had something to do with the isnad. Today's hadith, the second hadith, which was the hadith of how the revelation came to the Prophet, and he described, Bukhari put this hadith in there because in the second chain of narration we have some of the major people from Medina. So Al-Ismaili's criticism was, what's the connection between this hadith and the name of the chapter? The name of the chapter is how the revelation began. Not what the Prophet talked about in the hadith. He talked about how the revelation came to him. The revelation, the man said, كَيْفَ يَأْتِيكَ الْوَحْيُ. How does the revelation come to you? And he said, it comes to me in the form of a bell ringing and in the form of an angel taking on the characteristics of a man and so forth and so on. You understand? You understand, Yahya? No, that's it. That's all she wrote, huh? That's all she wrote. It's that simple. Okay, I'll say it again. About the second one, right? Alright. In both hadith, the first and the second hadith, the connection of these two hadith with this chapter that Al-Bukhari had, the chapter of how the revelation began. That's the name that Al-Bukhari gave. When he wrote his book, the first chapter he called it, the chapter of how revelation began. The revelation from Allah. So the first hadith he brought was, verily the deeds will be judged by your intention. And the second hadith that he brought was the hadith that we dealt with today, which was the hadith of how the revelation came to the Prophet. So Al-Ismaili and other than him, they criticized Imam Al-Bukhari, and their criticism was what? They said, listen Al-Bukhari, you name this chapter how the revelation began. So in the first hadith, you put a hadith talking about the deeds and the niyyah. What's the connection between that hadith and the name of the chapter? And the second hadith, which is talking about how the revelation came to the Prophet. The Prophet described, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how the revelation came to him. So Al-Ismaili said, this hadith shouldn't have been put there, because it's talking about how the revelation came to the Prophet. But the name of the chapter is how the revelation began. So I'll give you an example. In the book or the chapter of Al-Jihad, the book or the chapter of Al-Jihad in Sahih al-Bukhari, there's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَجَّ لِلْمُجَاهِدِينَ مِئَةَ الدَّرَجَةَ بَيْنَ كُلِّ دَرَجَتَيْنِ كَمَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Al-Bukhari brought this hadith on the authority of Anas ibn Malik. In the book of Jihad, the Prophet ﷺ said, verily Allah has prepared for the Mujahideen 100
levels of paradise. And each level, the distance between each level is like the distance between the heavens and the earth. So the distance from this earth to the next heaven, there are 100 of those. Let's just say for the sake of argument, Al-Bukhari takes this hadith, which is in what chapter? Chapter Jihad. He takes this hadith and he puts it in the chapter of Ghusl. When you read that, you say, what's the connection between this hadith and Ghusl? There's no connection. So this is what Al-Ismaili is saying. He's saying, why would you name this chapter how the revelation began? And then you put this hadith in it, which talks about how the revelation came to the Prophet ﷺ. So you've done wrong, Al-Bukhari. So the answer to Al-Ismaili's criticism is the chain of narration, I mean the metin, or the actual speech of the hadith, which has a connection to the bab, because it's talking at least about revelation. Not like the first hadith. At least it's talking and it's mentioning revelation. But the reason why Bukhari brought this second hadith was because in the chain of narration, the men, there are those people from Medina. So the first hadith, the chain of narration, are the people from Mecca. And the second hadith, the people from Medina. So Al-Bukhari wanted to do what? Since the revelation began in Mecca, and then in Medina, I'm going to do these two hadiths like that. This is from the fiqh of Al-Bukhari. Okay. What we said exactly was that Imam al-Bukhari, some of the ulama like al-Hakim, like some of the ulama from al-Maghrib, they said that the Sahih Muslim is better than Sahih Bukhari. And we said, yes, that's true if what you mean by that is that al-Imam Muslim brings every single hadith dealing with that issue and he puts it one after another in the same chapter. So he'll put every hadith and every narration that's dealing with this one issue and it's similar in this one chapter. Whereas al-Bukhari will put it here and here and there and there based upon what? The understanding that he gets from this hadith. There's a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مثلكم ومثل أهل الكتابين كمثل الرجل استأجر أجراء فقال لهم من يعمل لي من الفجر إلى طلوع الشمس على قراط قراط قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعملت اليهود ثم قال ومن يعمل لي من الظهر إلى العصر على قراط قراط فعملت النصارى ثم قال ومن يعمل لي من المغرب من العصر إلى أن تغرب الشمس قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأنتم هم فقالت اليهود والنصارى ما بالنا أكثر عملا وأقل عطاء قال الرجل هل ظلمتكم من حقكم شيئا قالوا لا قال ذلك فضلي أؤتيه من أشاء. Al-Bukhari brings this hadith in his book. This hadith says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily the example of this community, you Muslims, and the example of the communities or the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, listen to this example. Verily the example of you people, this ummah, and the example of the Jews and the Christian is like the example of a man who said, who will do some work for me from Salat al-Fajr, time of Fajr, until the sun comes up? The Prophet ﷺ said, so the Jews agreed to work. Then he said, and who will do some work for me from Zuhr time until after Asr? So the Prophet ﷺ said, that the Christians worked. The first people work for one qirat, which is a form of measurement. The second people work for a qirat, which is a form of measurement. Then the man said, who will work for me from Salat al-Asr to Salat al-Maghrib for two qirat? He said, you people are those people. So the Jews and the Christians said, what's wrong with us? We did the most work and we get the least reward. The man said, did I oppress you from your right? They said, no, you gave us what we agreed to. He said, then that's my bounty. I give it to whoever I want to give to. Listen to that. You got that hadith? The hadith is showing us what? The hadith is showing us that the Jews, they had the majority of the Anbiya. I made a mistake. The saying of the hadith is from Salat al-Fajr until Zuhr time. And not from Fajr until the sun comes up. From Salat al-Fajr until Zuhr time. If you look at the time from Fajr until Zuhr, it's the majority of the time for Salat. There are maybe 8 hours. Gotta follow, gotta pay attention. There are about 8 hours between Fajr and Zuhr time. And then from the time from Al-Zuhr to Asr is only about 3 hours, 4 hours. And then the time from Asr to Maghrib is the shortest time. So, the Yahud had the majority of the Anbiya. Ibrahim, Ishaq, Yaqub, Yusuf, Sulaiman, Dawood, Musa, Yunus, Yusha, how many? Isa. They had a lot of Anbiya. A lot from Bani Israel. So that's designated by that long period of time. And then the Christians had less. They only had Isa ibn Maryam. Only. And they worked less than the Yahud. The Yahud got one qirat, and they had the most time to work. And the Jews, the Christians, had less than them. And then this ummah has less time, but we get two qirat, more reward. You picture the hadith? Al-Bukhari, where did he put this hadith? He put this hadith in the times of salat. Because it's dealing with those salat where the Prophet mentioned about salat. Al-Bukhari put this in the Kitab of Bay, the book of buying and trading. Because the man is hiring those people. Al-Bukhari puts... Shukran, Shaykh al-Islam. Al-Bukhari puts this hadith in the virtues of the Prophet. Because he's talking about the Prophet Musa and Isa and Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Bukhari puts this book in the book of Raqa'iq to make your heart soft. When you read that, you say, MashaAllah. So all those places that he put that hadith, it has a connection to that hadith. And he does this a lot. The black lady who used to sweep the masjid when she died, the Bukhari and the Prophet said, where's the woman who used to sweep the masjid? They said, she died yesterday. So the Prophet said, why didn't you people tell me? He went to her grave and he made Salat al-Janazah over her. Al-Bukhari puts this hadith in the book of Janazah, Salat al-Janazah. That you can pray another time, even if it was prayed over, you can pray again over the dead body. Al-Bukhari puts this hadith in the manaqib, the virtues of the Prophet, showing his humility. He's going to take the time out to go to this woman who swept the masjid. Al-Bukhari puts this hadith in the i'tikaf, because this woman used to live in the masjid. Al-Bukhari puts this in the book of the masajid, because she was taking care of the masjid. So this is the fiqh, this is what we're saying about when Bukhari brings the name of the chapter, that's where you get the fiqh of Bukhari when you want to know. If Bukhari sees this thing as being haram or halal, it's dependent upon what he says in the chapter. Barakallahu.
Yes. You know, last week you mentioned that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said that the hadith were in the actions were quite intentionally, the first were knowledge, and then the other two first were whoever does something which is not from this man or girl will be convicted, and then the third one was the unlawful sin and the unlawful sin, and it is to do with the deeds of the heart, tongue, and the lips. But some other scholars, they made it hard that it's a poor of body. And they said those two, if I'm right, those two same beliefs that end up and they only declared to be caught in a womb for a period of 40 days. And what is the connection of that author view and not having why is that regarded as a poor of body with those
people? Allahu A'lam. Yeah, he said that.
we said that, like you just mentioned, there was a difference in opinion, and we said that this was the ijtihad of Abu Abdullah Ahmed ibn Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we can take that ijtihad or we can leave that ijtihad. It's not revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Prophet saying that Qul huwallahu ahad is the fullest of the Quran, or the Ayatul Kursi is the greatest ayat in the Quran. This is wahyu from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has to be accepted. And we said that because this was ijtihad, other people also had ijtihad, and they said that it was a quarter. So the brother's question as to how is the connection of verily one of your creations is brought in the stomach of his mother 40 days like this, 40 days like that, 40 days like this. First of all, I don't even remember if that's the hadith. And if it is the hadith, I don't remember what was the connection. So Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best. What in the Sahih of Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi, there's an authentic hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said, if I was invited to that which Yusuf, rahimallahu Yusuf, may Allah have mercy upon Yusuf, but verily if I was invited to that which he was invited to, I would have accepted the invitation. I was saying that Ibn Qutaybah, the author of this book, Ta'wil Mukhtalif al-Hadith, he brings this hadith and other hadith similar to it to explain. There's another book similar to this, and it's a hadith, it's a book written by Al-Imam al-Tahawi, the Hanafi man who has the Aqidah al-Tahawiyah. He also wrote a book called Mushkil al-Asar, where he does the same thing. Mushkil, from the word mushkila, those things that we hear may cause a problem on your mind. Mushkil al-Asar, the problems of the Asar, the Ahadith. Anyway, the point was, when we hear this authentic hadith about Yusuf radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we find that the average person who hears this hadith for the first time, the thing that comes to their mind is what? The woman who invited Yusuf to have zina with him when she أغلقت الباب وقالت حيت لك. She locked the door and said, come here, come to me. And we all know the hadith. Now, in our aqidah, the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the Salaf were of the opinion that the Anbiya and the Rusul, our aqidah to believe, they cannot and they do not make major sins. So anytime we read something that we don't understand and it seems like they're doing something, there's some explanation for it. Whether you know it or not, you know though, that automatically, I don't know about the book Ta'wil Mukhtalif al-Hadith, and I don't know about the book Mushkil al-Asar, but I know Yusuf didn't try to make zina. And I know that the Prophet, who's the best of the Anbiya, if Yusuf didn't do it, I know he wouldn't do it. That's my aqidah, whether I know the answer or not. So the answer to the question, to this hadith, the understanding of it, is that when Yusuf was locked up, two people in the prison saw in a dream. You know the story. One said he saw himself squeezing grapes, and the other one said that he saw some birds eating from his head and he was crucified on a cross. So they said, give us the ta'wil of this ru'ya, in kuntum min as-sadiqin. Give us the truth of this thing, that these dreams, if you're really from the truthful. So he said, your fool will not come to you except that I will tell you the ta'wil, the tafsir of what you've seen. The reason why Yusuf said he connected their fool is because you're in prison, you don't know what time it is. You know time by the meals you get. So when your meal comes, I'll tell you at that time. So before the meal came, he said, Ya sahib al-sijn, a'arbabun mutafarraqun khayrun amallah al-wahid al-qahhar. Oh, my two companions of the prison. First thing he started calling them to was the da'wah of al-tawheed. Oh, my two companions of the prison. Who is better,
these many gods that you have, or Allah, Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. And this is why we tell the people, look, let us not start with jihad. Let us not start with the khilaf. Let us not start with anything other than what the Anbiya, all of them start with in the Quran. All of them. You'll find them all saying, Ya Qawmi, Ibudullah, Ma lakum min ilahin min ghayri. Oh my people, worship Allah, you don't have any God other than Him. All of them said this one after another. So while Yusuf is in the prison, he gives them da'wah to Tawheed, then he gives them the tafsir of their dream. He says, as for you, this is your situation, and as for you, this is your situation. So he said to him, the one who he thought, فَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ذَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِّنْهُمَا اَذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. So he said to the one who he thought was going to be saved, mention my name to your Lord, to the king. So he left. فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaytan made him forget to mention him to the king. So Musa, Yusuf was in a prison for some time. So the king has a dream. سَبْعَ بَقَرَاتٍ. He sees seven cows. يَأْكُلُهُنَّ. Seven cows are being devoured by seven stalks of grain and love. So he says to his people, give me the interpretation of this dream if you people know interpretations of dreams. They call his dreams strange, crazy dreams. They say, we don't know the interpretation of that mess. But the one who was in prison said, I know one who will tell you the dream. Send me. Just send me to him. So they sent him to Yusuf. He goes to Yusuf, and what did he say? Ya Yusuf. Ya Ayyuha Siddiq. Oh Yusuf. Oh my friend. You know, forgot him in the prison all that time. This is a human being. He call on you when he needs you. And then when he comes, Ya Siddiq. Ya Akhi. You having all these problems. Nowhere to be found out. But when he needs something, he comes to you. But also we understand from that, Akhi, that this man who was a kafir saw the importance of addressing the people of knowledge with respect. Addressing them with respect. Not like these people, majaneen, crazy people. Ulama, murji'a, ulama, kuffar, ulama. They are agents and all that kind of stuff. So he gave them the dream. Yusuf told him the interpretation of his dream. Now, does Siddiq mean friend also in Arabic? No, no, Marish, the su'al. Habba, one by one. Does Siddiq, yes or no, mean friend in Arabic as well? No. The brother, what he said was right. It means truthful Abu Bakr Siddiq. Now, the truthful one. So now, Jazakallah khairi yasha. So now, the people go back to Yusuf, the king, said, go get him out of the prison. Bring him to me. So when the guy went to the prison to get him out, he said to them, Irja, Ira Rabbi. Fas'al ma balu niswa allati qatta'na aydiyahunna. Go back and ask your Lord, what is the condition of the women who cut their fingers? What is the condition? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said after that, فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِدْعَ سِنِينَ. And after that, he stayed in the prison some more time, from 3 to 9 years. بِدْعَ سِنِينَ is not clear. From 3 to 9 years extra, and he was free. And you know the rest of the story. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying, had I been invited to that, I'd have left the prison, especially in light of the fact that I was innocent. So he was trying to raise the stature and the honor of Yusuf, as he always did with the other prophets. When the man said to the Muslim said, I swear by he who sent Muhammad with the haq. The Yahudi said, I swear by he who sent Musa with the haq, and Musa is better than Muhammad. The Muslim slapped him. He went to the Prophet ﷺ and complained. The Prophet ﷺ said, why you slap him? He said, because of what he said. The Prophet ﷺ told us, لَا تُفَضِّلُونِ عَلَى مُوسَى. Don't put me above Musa. For verily, the horn will be blown and everything will fall out. And then the horn will be blown and I'll be the first to wake up. And when I get up, I'll see Musa already woke, holding the throne of Allah. And I don't know if he was exempt from going out because he went out when he asked Allah to manifest himself, or, and I don't know whether he was just raised before me. So he did that with a lot of the Anbiya. They came to the Prophet ﷺ and they called him, they asked him, who is the Akram al-Nas? Who is the most generous of the people? Who has this Karam Kareem? They asked him, who was the best person? They asked him, who was the best person? And he said, Yusuf al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem. Yusuf, the son of the generous, Yusuf's father is Yaqub. And he was the son of the generous. Ishaq, who was the son of the generous, Ibrahim. So he always put these prophets up. So that's the meaning of it, of that hadith. And not the woman. Aywa? That's it? Now, listen. The brother made a very important point. The ayah is Ya ayyuha siddiq, with the dal has a tashdeed. Right? If you don't make this tashdeed, the meaning can change. Siddiq. And this is a very important point, and what he said is the haq. This is correct. We'll speak about it. Now. Sahib ibadah, sahib fadl wa ibadah. ولكنه لا يدري يحدث بأي شيء ما لا يخرج من رأسه. هو إنسان قال شعبة ابن الحجاج وهو من الذين لقب بأنه أمير المؤمنين في الحديث, قال لأن أزني أحب إلي من أن أروي عن هؤلاء. هذا كلام من؟ شعبة ابن الحجاج, عالم كبير, هذا عالم الحديث. لأن أزني أحب إلي من أن أروي عن هؤلاء. ابن مندى صاحب الكتاب الإيمان, ابن مندى عالم كذلك محدث, قال إذا سمعت في الحديث حدثنا فلان الزاهد فاغسل يدك منه. إذا سمعت في الحديث حدثنا فلان الزاهد فاغسل يدك منه, يعني ان هذا الانسان ما عبادته وفضله ما شاء الله هذا شيء طيب, ولكنه لم يتفقه ولم يحفظ ولم يضبط العلم, لذلك تركوهم. نعم. جمال الدين جملك الله. Yeah, that's what we said at the end. How do we make the tawfiq or the harmonization between this hadith, which it seems to be what they call al-hafar, you know? This hadith in hafara. It seems to be that the Prophet ﷺ only mentioned two ways revelation came to him. By way of the jaras that came to him, and the way of Jibril coming in the form of a man. But there are so many other authentic hadith like going to come next week, inshallah, the hadith of Aisha, when Jibril came and grabbed him. Jibril, that there were some sahabas who were sitting there and the revelation came, and Umar ibn Khattab said he heard the humming of bees as Ibn Abi Dunya has transmitted to us. Also, what about the revelation that he received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly when he went to the heavens and he got the salah and he saw the people who were making ghibah, and he prayed with the Anbiya as the Imam al-Azam, and so forth and so on. So there were a number of ways that the revelation came to Abu Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So we gave the explanation that those other ways came, inshallah, wallahu alam, after the question. That's one interpretation. That seems to be the best one. That the those other ways were after this question. But also, if you really took the time out to really contemplate, a lot of those other ways that came can be connected to one of these two ways that he mentioned. The ringing of the bees, the buzzing of the bees, can be similar to the bell. The Prophet hears a bell which sounds like the humming of bees to you. You understand? It's like a bell to him, and it sounds like the humming of a bee to you. The fact that, what else? What were some of the other things? Anyway, the ulama, basically, there are those people from the ulama who said, who tried to connect each way to one of these two. That's another interpretation. And thirdly and lastly, another interpretation is that the two that he mentioned, the bell and Jibril coming, were the two that used to happen most of the time. So he, I don't know how you translate, iktafa. How you translate that? Iktafa bi zikr hadain. He found that this was enough to mention. He was satisfied with these two things. You know, but there's a better word, but I don't know how to translate that well. You know? So there are three. He found it sufficient to mention these two. So those are three interpretations. But because of the darf, we leave this stuff out, because you have to hurry up, and you have to leave a lot of things out. You know, because you don't want the ifala, you don't want to be... So those three, right? The one we said, which was that happened after. No, what he said. He found it sufficient. And the second one is almost all of them. You can connect them to one of the two. You can connect them to one of the two. And finally, the third one is that those two things that he mentioned is what happened most of the time. That's it. Shabab. Okay. No. The Mursal Hadith, the Marasil of the Sahaba. Mursal is Mufrat, singular. And Marasil is the plural. That's why you find a book by Abu Dawood, a Sijistani, you know, an Imam, Abu Dawood, the Sunan Abu Dawood. He has a book called Marasil. It's well known. Marasil Abi Dawood. Anyway, the Mursal Hadith of the Sahabi is a hadith in which the Sahaba is not narrating on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, one of the Sahabas did not witness what happened, but he's narrating the hadith on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Aisha did in this situation. The people you find doing this a lot are the people who are from the young Sahaba, like Ibn Abbas, who made hijrah and he was a young man. So he narrated a hadith in which he said that the Prophet ﷺ married our mother Maymuna during Hajj time. And we know you can't get married while you're a muhrim, not a mahram for the woman. So they said a lot of the hadith of Ibn Abbas are mursal, because he couldn't have seen, and he's a little kid. How is he going to be talking about that? Usam ibn Zayd, similar to him. Anas ibn Malik, similar to him, these small sahabas. But the thing is, some of the ulama rejected them, because they felt that maybe this sahaba is narrating on a tabi'i. For an example, you may find a tabi'i who's just as old as the sahaba is. It's like one of us who may have an uncle who's younger than him. So some of them rejected it, but the majority of them accepted it, because when you look at all of the hadith available, and you look at all of the potential people who could have done this, you don't find them narrating on tabi'een. It doesn't happen. So it's acceptable. And this is one of the special features of the hadith. So wallahi, I tell you, wallahi al-azim, because Ajami, non-Arab, because I'm 30 years old, 31, because I've only been a Muslim for 8 years. It's impossible to teach from Sahih Bukhari from this and really, really be mutqin, you know? But if we had the opportunity to get some ulama here, or some big tulab al-ilm, I mean real people, wallahi akhi, we can really move this thing. But, you know, as the rule in the Usul al-Fiqh tells us, مَا لَا يُدْرَكْ جُلُّهُ لَا يُتْرَكْ كُلُّهُ. If you can't do all of some, if you can't do most of something, you don't leave it all because you can't do, you know what I'm saying? The rule is, if you can't do all, some of it, or the majority of this, then don't leave all of it. Meaning now, we do the best that we can. Because there's no scholar or no big talib al-ilm, we say, well, we're not really going to get a lot of benefit, so we don't even do it. No, we do what we can do. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the i'ana, for the help and the nasr and the help and the tawfiq and the sadad and the maghfirah.